Hey, networkers out there, it is I, Adam, again. I've got a really special podcast for you today. We're doing a bunch of these pre-TPNX, and I know they're kind of all coming together right at the last second, but this is great listening material for all of those who are going to be in attendance down in Orlando. And I can say that that's this week. It's the 21st and 22nd at Orlando International's C Terminal, essentially the train nexus point between the east and west coast of Florida. If you don't have your tickets, I know there's a few left for Friday and a few more left for Saturday. So if you want to get on the TPNX train and join Matt and I and a cast of thousands already, or almost thousands, and our friends from American, United, Southwest, Delta, Spirit, Frontier, Avelo, Breeze, JetBlue, Piedmont PSA, Envoy, the Customs Border Patrol guys. There's a bunch out there. You can go look at the link. For those who I forgot, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm doing this from memory. A bunch of our awesome industry partners like Spitfire Elite and Turbine Capital are going to be there, as amongst many, many others, with presentations, all sorts of fun stuff. But back to the at hand for the podcast today, a special guest from United Airlines, a great individual man who is helping recruit the best and brightest for not only United, but their Aviate program as well. Kenneth KP Kirkpatrick. He is a LAX, for those of you who aren't in the know on that, just kidding. That's Los Angeles 737 captain at United. That's where he's based. He's been there for United. He's been at United for 9 years and served on a ton of different, served in a ton of different aspects at United Airlines, such as a flight manager in the chief pilot's office and a pilot interviewer for their talent acquisition team, amongst many other things. Before joining United, KP served 12 years on active duty in the Air Force, flying the C-17. And he is currently in the Air Force Reserves and is the squadron commander of the 729th Airlift Squadron at March Air Reserve Base in Southern California. I'm sure some of you probably know KP. Some of you, he might even be your boss. Anyways, KP delivers the goods. He gives us some projections on United, what hiring's been like just recently in the past, some of his own personal thoughts and feelings on the industry and state of it and the growth that's expected. And mainly, he gives you a really good perspective on how to ready yourself for not only TPNX, but any type of meet and greet you may have with a airline like United, and especially United themselves. Also, he just is a great interviewer or interviewee and tells an awesome story. So I hope you enjoy the podcast with KP, and I hope to see you at TPNX here this week on the 21st and 2nd. All right, enjoy. See you in Orlando. KP, well, welcome to the Pilot Network podcast. We're going to go into some questions about United and hiring and all that stuff. But before we do that, what's your background? How did you get started on this whole crazy ride? And now you're part of this United team.
Absolutely, Adam. I appreciate you having me this morning. Ken Kirkpatrick, I go by KP. I've been at United for, it'll be 9 years here in July. Before that, I was 12 years active duty Air Force, C-17 instructor, evaluator, pilot. And I still am in the reserves. I'm serving as the commander of the 729th Airlift Squadron in Southern California, March Air Reserve Base. During my time at United, I've gotten a chance. I'm a 737 captain out of LAX. I've gotten a chance to work in the chief pilot's office down there as a flight manager, and also on the pilot hiring team, so in an AVA coach. So I've gotten a chance to dip my hands in a couple of different hats since I've been at United. It's an exciting time, and I'm enjoying it.
Exciting is kind of an understatement right now for a lot of us out there. Me being a fellow major airline pilot, or like gear, whatever you want to call it, I don't really know what's a major and what's not anymore. Airlines and things are changing so rapidly these days that it's hard to pigeonhole or label anything.
Absolutely.
I think One of the things you talked about before we get into, and I know this is slightly afield from what we're going to talk about here shortly, but I really want to hammer on this for a lot of folks that are out there who have younger friends who are yet in the aviation community who might be moving that way. The Aviate program. We've got a lot of people out there who are part of, for instance, like the Southwest 225 program. We've talked to them before on the podcast and know a lot about them and had TPNX last year. But since United is a newcomer to TPNX this year, by the way, for those of you out there who don't have tickets, there's still a couple available for the 21st and a couple more available on the 22nd. So Orlando, 21st and 22nd of April. Hurry up and get them while they're still available. But back to TPNX and United. United's coming this year, and one of their cornerstone projects is Aviate. And if you could just talk to Aviate a little bit, and then how some of our new type folks who aren't necessarily in the same space we were when we got hired at our respective jobs.
So Aviate is a program that we're really excited about. And what it is that it's a pathway to United, right? It's a pathway to aviation. And so we have the Aviate Academy, which is at our aviation school in Goodyear, Arizona. And so that can start a pilot from their pilot private license all the way up through instructing. And so that program is something where they would actually be in place at the school, going through instruction and learning how to fly from the beginning, right? And so there's also multiple pathways into Aviate. So if you are already past your private pilot's license, you're already instructing and you're at a regional, we have Aviate partners, multiple partners out there. I would suggest people go out and look at the Aviate website to make sure they find out which partners that we have partnerships with. And what that is just another pathway to becoming a United pilot. And so the idea is, think of it as like a one and done, right? One interview and done. You have that one Aviate interview. Once you pass that, you are in the United ecosystem. And at that point, you'll be set up with an Aviate coach and like a peer to guide you along your aviation journey until you are sitting in the right seat of a United aircraft. And so we're excited about that program. We're excited about the possibilities and the things that we have accomplished thus far. And we're also excited about the fact that, you know, we made a commitment to having 50% of women and aviators of color to be a part of that program as well. So diversity is a big piece of our culture at the company. And so we're excited about that.
That's fantastic stuff. I think all the airlines and all of us as aviators are kicking ourselves not thinking about this 30, 40 years ago. Yeah, right? Like, can you imagine having that timeline, that flow of natural talent and people who wanted to keep doing this from the time they're 18 or even younger and continue on to an airline where they're very adept in the knowledge base of the safety practices and protocols. It's very funny. Ed Bastian, CEO of Delta, said recently on a podcast that the airlines do not compete in in the safety arena, which is correct. Awesome. Yeah, we're all as safe as the next, and we all try to be that way all the time. Knowing the details of that from the day you start, like call outs or just certain practices, policies, and procedures for the Air Force guys out there, tactics, techniques, and procedures. If you figure out, if for your airline from the start and then continue, I think that's one of the that's a plus. But the coolest part, I think, for any of these programs that are out there, specifically Aviate with United, is you get to know your airline's culture from day one, and you can be that great brand ambassador.
Absolutely.
At a very young age and forward. And that is that's different than what we started with, right? We didn't know much about it. Was like, hey, get hired at whatever the first airline calls you,
right? And I think that's the key to it, right? Like the destination, we all know what the destination is. We're trying to get to a major airline. But now we have a pathway to get there. We can see what that looks like, right? And so as you start that beginning of that journey, you can see which way you need to go in order to navigate to get to your ultimate destination. So we've taken away the guesswork of the middle piece.
Yes, and that's something that we've been trying to do in a much different way with the Pilot Network too, because I remember, as you do, is what's this airline stuff, especially people. And even as a pilot who knew and had a lot of friends in that community, the civil side, it was, okay, well, what's the best practice to get to the choice job or the place that you want to be for the rest of your career as fast as you can? Because that's the goal, right? Beat everybody else.
Absolutely.
You get that seniority number. And with that said, there has been so much change since you and I've started, you know, just roughly a decade ago in this industry of the civil side, if you will. It, obviously on the military side, it's always changing. It's always a little different than it was the day prior. But on the civil side, it, you know, if we look back 30 years ago, it was first airline that calls you, that's the one you're going to go to, put your blinders on, and boom, you're off and running for your career. Things have changed in the last 30 years, probably even more so in the last five, just because of COVID and what happened with a lot of the airlines, a lot of the older folks bowing out slightly earlier because of airline assistance and trying to right size the airlines. That happened almost at all airlines. There was some sort of leave or something like that, or an early out at a couple of them. So one of the interesting parts of that is we already knew that the horizon was retirement, retirement, retirement. And how are we going to replace these, this experience and these experts who've been around for a long time? We know we can't do that immediately.
Right.
But now we're in the process of, holy cow, we've been in a hiring boom basically since the world opened back up, you know, quote unquote, if you want to call it that. So how many pilots has United brought on since hiring resumed?
Yeah, so that it was interesting, right? Because it was lots of uncertainty during the pandemic. And I think one of the things that our CEO, Scott Kirby, focused on is not bouncing back. He wanted to bounce forward, right? And so since then, we are currently at over 14,000 pilots at United Airlines, which is amazing. So in 2001, we brought on right around 1,300 pilots. And then last year in 2022, that jumped to 2,400 pilots. So you can see that bouncing forward was there. We were ready for that bounce forward. And then this year to date, we're probably around 700 plus pilots, still looking to exceed that 2000 number by the end of the year.
And it's for those, you know, we don't want to date ourselves, but it's April 13th at 23 and they've hired 700 people starting from January 1st. That's crazy. I mean, I remember when I first started looking at being an airline pilot, if you want to count Delta, United, American, Southwest weren't hiring 700 combined in a year.
Right.
Now, you're 700 from January 1st until right now. That's crazy. And that's good. That's great for the industry. It obviously is a little bit of churn in the training department, which apparently it's been figured out and figured out well. I think looking forward, what are the projections with retirements in 2023? Another 2,000-ish or so, and then 24, and then beyond. Is that wave continue to go, and then it kind of caps and has a nice crest, you know, where it falls out? Obviously, until there's another black swan event, and you know,
right, yeah. So for 2023, we're still looking at eclipsing that 2,000 new pilots for the foreseeable future. So for 2023 and at least the next 5 years, they're looking at eclipsing that 2000 mark each year. And that's due in large part to our aircraft orders that we have out there. We've done one of the largest aircraft orders in airline history, which we're pretty proud about. And then we have our number of retirements are going up in years to come. And then we have increased our mainline flying as well. So with those things coming together, that projection for the number of pilots that we're going to need is going to exceed that 2,000 for the next 5 years at least.
And for all of you listening out there, I think that it not only should that be encouraging, but it should be motivating for you to clean that application up, clean those resumes up, dust off the old, hey, public speaking and how do I talk in front of people? KP and I can both tell you military guys, and when we were coming up, once you kind of got over that initial pilot training, you know, Cyril, maintain aircraft control, analyze situation, take the appropriate action, landing suits, permit, all that kind of stuff, standing up and doing that, you don't really do that as much as you continue to go along. And that is, those are perishable skill sets. So get up there and work on that stuff. So when you go to your interview and you talk to these folks at meet and greets, like at TPNX or wherever, you have the opportunity to just knock it out of the park and show your best self. You're not making stuff up, but you're
absolutely.
And I think when you do that, that leads into the next question is, so let's say KPM brand new. Let's say I'm a military individual separating, going to the Guard or Reserve, and I've got, you know, a 6 month window here where I'm going to be waiting on training or something like that. What can I expect if I get the call or the email that says, hey, we like what you got here. We want you to come interview. So my timeline from that phone call or email to the time where I can show up for an interview, and then interview to Indoc, and then to training, and then out on the line.
Yeah, great question. And we have an exciting new program coming up, a military pilot program. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But from the time they get the interview, I think it's important to note that from the time that they hit submit on the application to the time to get the interview, that all depends. And so that timeline is different, you know, for every person. It all depends on their qualifications and how competitive they are in that pool. But all things remaining equal, if they were to hit submit on the application and they, you know, the number one candidate, they can hear back within a few weeks of hitting submit on the application. And then once they do that, they'll be sent an assessment. And once they hit submit on assessment, we like to give at least probably 3 to 4 weeks before we set up an interview. That gives people time to get their affairs in order. It gives people time to prepare and do those things like that. So 3 to 4 weeks before they bring you for the interview. If you're successful at the interview, you can be in a basic NDOT class within another 2 to 3 weeks after that. And so once you get into a basic NDOT class, what that is just your onboarding and compliance for United Airlines. And once you get into that, that's a 3-week course. And when you finish that course, you'll be a United Airlines pilot, and then they'll be sending you into your fleet training. Right. And so if you think about it, from the time that you interview to the time that you are in basic NDOC, it could be about a 2-month time frame if everything was just streamlined and, you know, and you were ready to go.
The point across to a lot of folks that are out there that don't know this kind of stuff is, this ain't going to a new base and awaiting a training slot. And
absolutely.
But yeah, there's kind of a rhythm to this kind of thing. And if you are not ready to go when that rhythm starts, you can get lost in the wash a little bit. And that's what we want to avoid, because that's that stress that you can bring down to an interview or even into training once you get there, because you got through and you were, you know, let's say you got all that stuff knocked out, but you're moving. You're moving back home. You're moving to your base, and the wife and kids are stressing out. And I've talked to guys who this has happened to them, and it can be tough. So it's like you said, getting that affairs in order, kind of a whole process. And you want to lead turn all this, because the best way to go into it all is stress free. Holy cow! I just got on with the airline of my dreams. I'm at United. I'm going to be a United pilot. It's time for me to go out there and really crush this. And if you've got that home stuff going on, it doesn't make for a fun time in training. And training should be about learning not only your airplane, but about the company,
right,
who you're going to work with. You should have an enjoyable time in training to an extent. I mean, certain things you just V1 cuts over and over again. But looking, kind of rolling it back just a little bit, if to get into that position, what are you personally and as a team looking for as your best practices for getting your application and your resume ready and those kind of things to help? If I wanted, again, I'm applying, I wanted to stand out a little bit, no proprietary information, but just.
Right. Absolutely. I think the important thing is that people look at, they understand the weight of this opportunity, right? And so not to take it very lightly, but we want to make sure that they, when they put up an application together, that is professional, right? That is thoughtful as they go in and putting their application together. We want to make sure that they demonstrate integrity throughout their application. So often We get asked the question, is it, I had this going on, should I put that on my application? Well, the answer is yes, right? Don't leave anything out. Don't leave anything up to chance. The worst position that you want to be in is you're sitting in front of an interviewer and they found something, you know, in your career that you left off your application. Now you're sitting there have to explain why you left it off the application, right? Was it because you just weren't sure, or did you do it intentionally? We don't want to get into that realm. So do your best to make sure that you put everything out there. And the thing I tell people is don't judge yourself, right? Don't self-eliminate yourself. Put the information out there. We see all types of things, and then let us be the judge of if that's something that's disqualifying or not, right? And I think the biggest thing is there is no pilot out there with a flawless aviation career, right? We make mistakes every flight, right? And so the biggest thing that you want to take from that is, what did you learn from that experience, right? Yep, you had a hiccup somewhere along the way. What did you take from that, and what did you do to make sure that it didn't happen again? So that's the most important thing that we want to see, even if you did have a hiccup on your resume. So as you're putting your resume together, make sure you're adding all that information. Don't leave anything out.
KP, so well stated. And for some of our listeners that are a little more like me, I think the summary, the word there is, or phrase is, truth and honesty. If you feel that it should be on there, put it on there. I've talked to so many people who are worried about a Q3 for military stuff, or they got a couple more speed tickets than they think is good on the application. And they said, don't worry about that kind of stuff. You need to be able to explain what happened at that time in your life. That's what I would be looking for if I was sitting on the other side of the table. I don't care if you made mistakes, right? You just said it. We all make mistakes as aviators. Every flight we make a mistake. I'm not concerned about the mistake. I'm concerned about how you came back from it and what you did to not make that mistake in the future. Because what does that show me and you, I assume, is you're going to get through training and you're going to be an awesome ambassador for my company. And that's who I want to work with. That's who I want to
be. Yes.
And I think moving into that world, this is sometimes a hot button topic with airline recruiters and interviewers. And then again, for all the companies that have come and gone in the interview prep world, is there a interview preparation that you'd like to see? I mean, obviously, you don't want to see somebody come in cold off the street who has never talked in front of a mirror before. And you don't want somebody who sounds like an automaton that has told a story that they've heard before because they know it's not true. They know it's not coming from you. What's that happy medium?
Yep, that happy medium. So, you know, we won't endorse any particular company, but, you know, people know that they're out there. The thing that we like to see is we actually send out an interview prep packet, you know, just giving people an idea of what are the type of things that we like to talk about. We understand that the aviation knowledge space is huge, right? There's so much information out there. So we try to narrow down and let you know the type of things that we'll be talking about during our interview. I think the most important thing is just to take out the guesswork. We don't want people showing up to the interview just, you know, in a tizzy because they have no idea, you know, what they're going to be asked. So we send that out and we help people read over it and get an idea of the type of things that we're going to be speaking about. And so we talk about the fact that we have a behavior portion and then we have a technical portion. So like we said, just taking out of the guesswork. And so if they go through that, and like you said, I think one of the things that is super helpful is talking in front of a mirror, right? Working on those yes. those projection skills and knowing what you look like when you're talking in front of people. A lot of times people, you know, you can chair fly, but if from the time something is in your head to the time that it reaches your lips, it gets lost in translation sometime, right? So talking in front of that mirror is huge. So using that packet that we send out, talk in front of a mirror and treating this as an opportunity that it is, which is an opportunity of a lifetime, I think that's most helpful.
Awesome. Doing a little bit of public speaking, just like you as well, it's amazing how much a little mirror time and a little bit of talking in front of a friend or a spouse can go a long ways to creating a little bit of humility on how you're going to present yourself and you're stuck. And especially if you already have given a, not a script per se, but a general guideline of, hey, this is where we're going to be within, that helps out tremendously. I don't believe that I ever got anything like that when I was going through my process with the airline. I think that's huge. So use, and KP said it, I'm going to say it, you're going to get this hammered to you at TPNX and everywhere else you ever go. Use every opportunity you can to garner that information, that knowledge, because it's just going to make your life a little less stress-free. And if we have a little bit of that, we'll keep the hair either less gray or maybe a little longer. If that's the case, we've got the opportunity to just be kinder to our families, to ourselves, gives ourselves a little bit of grace because we're not freaking out going into, as KP just said, the opportunity of a lifetime. And I think this goes not only for what we're talking about right now, but so many other places that we can kind of take that and utilize that in our life. I know it sounds a little bit of woo-woo stuff, but it's true. And I think when you go into events where you have these opportunities and you practice these kinds of things, you're gonna put your best foot forward. So when we do that at a meeting at an event like TPNX, I think we as attendees look at it as, okay, you know, we're so worried about ourselves that we forget about everybody else that's there. I'm gonna flip it around on when you go to something like TPNX or some sort of event that has recruiting or job fair ties to it. What kind of importance do you place on that for talking to not only attendees, but getting to know the landscape and talking to people who maybe aren't interested in United and either trying to sell them on it or finding out why they're not, that's not their choice airline?
Absolutely. I think what it allows us is it's an opportunity to meet pilots and candidates where they are, right? It allows us to come from behind a computer screen, come from out an office and get a chance to meet our future candidates, hopefully future United pilots, where they are. And I think that is huge. It allows them to see us in their space and hopefully bring a more comfort level to where they are, right? And it makes us accessible. It puts us in their realm, right? And we get a chance to have conversations with them. We're excited about being at TPNX this year, but it puts us in their realm and lets them be in a comfort zone as we're having those conversations. When we look at it, we're selling United. The same way that the pilots are selling their sales, we're selling United. And so we want them to see that we're one of the top companies out there, and we want them to come work for us just as much as they we want them as just as much as they want us. I think that's an important piece. When you're out talking to people, they need to be wanted as well. And so that's our goal, is to get out in this space, meet people where they're at, and let them know that we want them just as much as they want us.
I think that's so important. I've been saying that for years too with younger people who I know in the military are trying to go to the Air Guard or Reserve, and they just want to go and they don't think about, hey, is this unit the right fit for me? Maybe it's location, maybe it's people, whatever the case is. And it's been that way forever. We just didn't know that because we didn't have as many options as aviators as we do now. There's a lot more jobs out there compared to the early 2000s. I mean, okay, if you back the train up in the 80s, there were a ton of jobs like it is. It's different now. When you go to these events, whether it's TPNX or something else that's smaller put on by the airline itself, or it's a massive wide scale nonprofit event like Women in Aviation or OBAP or something along that lines, or if you go to an air show like Sun and Fun and EAA and you see some of these folks that are there, these are all opportunities to network, get yourself out there. And when the airline is looking at it the same way, I think that's where the synergy happens between both the candidate or the potential colleague of ours, as well as the airline itself, and seeing how everything kind of works together. I think that's probably really cool. I'm really excited about it. I mean, obviously we help put the whole thing together. So I'm excited to see it go great and smoothly for everybody. It'll be chaos behind the scenes as it normally is. But switching gears totally here, because I like to ask something a little bit more specific to the person that's here or the airline. So if you had your druthers, obviously Southern California is it's a decent spot to live weather-wise. And LAX 737 captain. Okay, so you got that going for you. You got the squadron command thing going for you. Now we're gonna open up the dream sheet on the United side. You can any airplane flying anywhere, obviously from LA, because you don't want to commute.
Right.
What's the dream sequence there? And like, if it was like 5-10 years from now,
dream sequence for me, I definitely want to be a 787 Dreamliner pilot. Right. I think that's amazing. And flying anywhere that's warm, I'm good with that.
Oh, you're fine. No layovers up here in Milwaukee in January. I don't want that. It's fun.
Let me know when the temperature is over 60 degrees and I come visit. Right?
All right. Well, it's 78. It's 78 here today. We've got this super beautiful week of warm weather, and then it drops back to garbage next week, which is awesome because I'm going to Orlando for TPNX. I'm like, I'm out of here. See you later.
There you go. I'll meet you in Orlando. How about that?
Yeah, exactly.
But yes, Dreamliner pilot, I think is amazing. Being a C-17 guy before I got into the civilian side, just flying around the world, I love that lifestyle. I love, you know, getting a chance to experience new places. So I think that would be my ultimate goal at United. But I'm completely enjoying the 737, getting a chance to go. Our route network is expansive, right? So from California, you can make it to the Hawaiian Islands. We go south to the Central South America, or you can hit anywhere in the domestic U.S. So 737 is exciting because every day is a new adventure, if you will. So I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I think for a lot of the people out there who don't realize that, you know, they think wide body international. That you know, remember that is normally just ocean crossing stuff. Yeah, there's maybe a little South America at some places, but like,
right,
if you're on a narrow body, a bigger narrow body, like a Airbus 321 or a big 73, there is a lot. And especially from those Southern tier bases, you get to go down to South America and Central America, which is really cool. I've gotten to do
yes.
Back in the day, I did Nicaragua, Belize City, which I went there when there was no cruise line in. So it wasn't that fun. Nicaragua was super cool. I loved it. I wish I could have stayed longer. I've done a lot of South America for past airline stuff, and keep those, like, that's the thing. It's like, keep the aperture open because you don't know what you're going to fall in love with. You really don't.
Absolutely.
One of the beauties about that. And I think KP, just like myself, doing a lot of international in the past, transatlantic, trans-Pacific, international, you know, that's where I want to be in my career. And I was lucky enough to get there pretty quickly, and I'll stay there probably for a very long time, especially as a commuter. But just keep that thought process going out there, folks. And United, awesome thing about United is that route network is expansive. There is a lot of international, and there's a lot of international from a lot of different bases. So that is something that we need to look into, right, when we're thinking about coming to a specific airline, is where do we want to live? And then we can start thinking about where we want to fly and all that. But
yes,
you have those opportunities at United, and that is something that's very exciting. But you get, most people listening know all that. So let's get down to some brass tacks here. So this was a cheesy thing we used to do on every podcast for, we decided to bring it back for the lead up to TPNX. And for those out there, it was called the memory items. For the Air Force, it's boldface. You know, for Navy, it's whatever they call it. But you get the drift. It's something that you need to take away from this podcast. KP's going to do a quick one hit answer. It's going to be real fast, and supposed to stick in your mind so that when you're listening to this podcast, you take this away for your future as a United pilot to get ready for that opportunity. So the first one is, if there's one thing that KP thought will make a candidate stand out, what is it?
It's a multiple choice, and not a multiple step problem, but professionalism, integrity, and just commitment to making your community and United a better place.
I think that all wraps right into one. And we mentioned it a couple times, brand ambassador, and how do you become a better brand ambassador how do you become one without integrity and making your community as well as your company a better place to be? So that perfect. Number two, what are the current minimum requirements at United, and then what is more the recommended?
So 1500 hours, unrestricted ATP, and the ability to fly to any destination and work in any destination that United flies to, right? With like I said, with our route network, we want to make sure that we meet that requirement that everybody can fly everywhere. And then recommended is just anything on top of that just makes you more competitive, right? And so if you look at it in terms of meeting those minimums that get you in the door, anything on top of that makes you more competitive in the system.
Yep. Perfect. Love it. Number three, someone is right now getting their application, TPNX or whatever. They're furiously writing down notes or typing in the computer, Evernote, whatever they are doing to get all this information ready. And they think to themselves, oh, man, I really, really want that United job and I want it ASAP. What do you want to say to them so they can successfully land that CJO?
Yeah, it's bring your most authentic self, right? When you come to the interview, just be you. Don't try to be someone else. Don't try to replicate someone else's experience. Be who you are and show the team that you are a good fit for United. Right, and why you want to be a part of that company. United is quickly becoming one of the largest and best airlines in the world in aviation history, as to quote Scott Kirby. And so let us know why you want to be a part of that transformation.
Boom. Knock it out of the park, folks. I don't know what more we can give you. That's the kind of information that will take you far in not only your interview, but life in general. I hate to, you know, it really, this is kind of information that KP and I didn't have growing up in this world. Now you've got your arm to something else, and I hope you can utilize it in post haste. Aside from all that good stuff, we talked about a lot going through. I mean, and there's so much more that your team will unpack at TPNX and in many of these other locations, and then just through time by putting it out in the ether. Where can folks right now go to get more information on United's current hiring programs, the numbers, whatever that's out there, and then also on the AVA program so they can recommend friends and family who are younger who are working into that aviation world? Where's their best spots to do that?
Roger, great question. So we have a couple of different websites out there. You can do pilot hiring at united.com. You can do united/pilots. Aviate. Those are all the different websites that you can go out. And if you're looking for something specific, you can look it up and it'll pop up there. All those different search engines are out there. And so keep your eyes peeled on those websites, because we'll be announcing a new program here in the next couple of months. It's I mentioned it earlier, it's a military pilot program. And what that is, it's an opportunity to try to bridge that gap between someone getting off active duty and joining the United Airlines. And so trying to take away some of that guesswork, trying to take away some of that anxiety when you're about to separate. And we're looking to make sure people have a landing spot when they're ready to get off active duty. So be on the lookout for that. It's a program, another new program that we have that we're excited about. And that'll be on the website as well.
So for all those people who turned off early, man, they missed a golden nugget right there at the end. I love it. KP is an expert, sold himself and nailed it right down to the money at the end there. And now if they, let's just say they want to get a hold of you, maybe not directly, but ways that they could follow you and the stuff that you're doing for United. What's their best option there?
I'm on LinkedIn as well. They can reach out from there. And then if they get in contact with pilot hiring, I'm in the pilot hiring team as well. So they can be able to reach me from there.
And people, we get them here for you. We try to make everything work, and you can meet these people, these fantastic people, not only through the socials and whatever, but also through at TPNX. I want to thank KP Kirkpatrick for being our guest today. We're going to see, and you're in attendance at TPNX in Orlando, or are you unable to make that one and the rest of the team?
I'm going to make that. I will actually be flying on that day, so I'll miss it this year. But yeah. Our team that is showing up, we have a phenomenal team that will be there. So they'll be equal to me, if not better, for sure.
See, isn't that the beauty? These multiple thousands of pilots, companies, we're able to interchange each other and help each other, scratch each other's backs, make sure that we get the job done, because we're all so darn good at our jobs. But that we're gonna miss you there, KP. I'm glad we got to have this conversation today. And if you need to reach out directly or you have a very specific question, you can always get a hold of Matt or I at heyguys@thepilotnetwork.com, and we can actually forward a lot of this stuff on to people and actually help you filter out what you don't need to say and just make it quick. So heyguys@thepilotnetwork.com, and also a little show note, we'll call it administration. For those of you who are coming to TPNX or have questions, keep your emails, watch your emails. There's lots of stuff that's going to be coming out here in the next few days, as even leading up right up to the show. So keep those emails locked in. And then also, if you have questions, or if you awesomely got a CJO in the last couple of days and you are no longer in need of TPNX, that's great. We'll take your money still if you want to give it to us. But if you don't, full refund, no problem. Just remember, heyguys@thepilotnetwork.com. And aside from thanking you for listening and sticking around all the way to the end here, remember, keep the shiny side up and the greasy side down. Fly safe, everybody.